When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter, on X, at JWright929ESPN. As always, you can listen on the radio, dial 92.9 FM, 680 AM, but you can always stay up to date with everything happening here on the station by downloading the Odyssey app. Free to download, free to listen. You can stream anytime, anywhere. You can even listen on demand with the Rewind feature. Dennis Fuller, producer of the program for us. Glad that he is with us, I should say. My company today, as he is each and every Monday on the program, head coach, team director of Team Thad, of course, of the Nike EYBL circuit. On Twitter, on X, at Dream Big Herd. Coach Herd, good day.
Great day, great week. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Merry Christmas to all. Let's celebrate what we got coming up on the program because, of course, it is the holidays. Jason Munns not going to be able to join us. He is traveling today. So, really, it's just going to be Coach Herd and I shooting it with you. So, we'll talk college football playoff. Got to get into what happened to the Tigers on Saturday. Also, a tweet from the NBA about big, big names, and we'll tell you where Ja Morant showed up on that. Got to get into the NFL. Of course, Grizzlies taking on the Clippers tonight. Pre-game 6:30 right here on 92.9 FM ESPN. Tip off with Eric at 7 p.m. We'll tell your story. Then we will get out of here. But, Coach, I'll leave it up to you. Would you rather start with college football playoff, or would you rather start with what happened to the Tigers on Saturday?
I guess like how I used to try to get my mama my report card when it wasn't good. The next morning before she dropped me off, I would say college football first.
All right, let's start with some college football. All right, so we had our first look at the college football playoff round one, I think as they were branding it. We got the four games, one on Friday with Notre Dame, Indiana. Then we got SMU and Penn State. We got Texas and Clemson. Then we finished the nightcap off with Ohio State and Tennessee. And I think my first kind of overreaction to the whole weekend was, like, let's set aside the selection process. I think what was an undeniable success was playing the games on campus. It felt like it was something different than we've seen from the playoff perspective. Also, I think it really helped that all the fan bases really showed out. Every building looked full. Every building looked ready to go. Like, I think for me, the big concern that I had going into the week was I am a big believer of play these games on campus because I think it looks better. I think it's part of the sport more so than it even is in the NFL. I felt like that was the big win because it looked like every environment was pretty sick.
No, I agree with that. It was a great, great environment for your first year to be doing the 12-team playoff run. So, the fan base just – it looked pretty much sold out. If it wouldn't have had to be 95% or something, 98 or some 90 at least, because I didn't really see.
It was one of those ones where if they told us it's sold out, you weren't really questioning it. You know what I mean? Like, to me, like, that's kind of what matters.
No, that's what matters, and from a TV look. So, no, I think it was a huge success as far as attendance look, it being on campus. So the original things that you wanted to see, I think it was a success from that standpoint before we go into the next element of it.
Well, I also think a huge part of it for me was, you know, we had going into it, there was going to be this question, would you rather have a bye? Would you rather not play your conference championship game? I think we left the weekend knowing this. If your quote-unquote reward was a home game, that appeared to be a significant reward. Like, to me, like, that was, you could leave this weekend going, home games matter. And to me, like, that was a big part of it. All right, now let's get into the selections. Because I'm at the same point that I was when we started, when we saw the final rankings. Based on the criteria that they laid out for how we're picking the teams, I think they got the right teams. Now, I was more against the way that they seeded it. Like, my whole deal is, I think if you earn your way in, that's fine, but you don't earn a home game, you don't earn a bye. To me, it's like, seed it 1 through 12. Now, I want to be very clear. Seeding it 1 through 12, we still would have had blowouts this weekend. Mm-hmm. Because if you would have seeded it 1 through 12, granted, they could have maybe finagled it, but largely it would have looked like this. Notre Dame would have hosted Clemson, which I think probably would have been a better game. Ohio State would have hosted Arizona State. That would have been a blowout. Mm-hmm. Tennessee would have hosted SMU. I think that's probably a blowout. Mm-hmm. And then Indiana would have hosted Boise State. That's probably a competitive game. The bigger thing for me is, by doing that, it doesn't guarantee you better games the opening week, but what it does likely ensure is that the situation that we're going to see coming up in the quarterfinals, we're going to have more blowouts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Texas is a bigger favorite against Arizona State than they even were at home against Clemson. Penn State's a bigger favorite against Boise State than even they were at home against SMU. We still have legitimate chances for blowouts coming up in the quarterfinals, but to me, like, that's okay. Look at it this way. Super wild card weekend in the NFL. Last year, I think we had one game within one score. The Lions-Rams game was a pretty good game, but we had Tampa Bay-Philly. Tampa Bay won 32-9. Rams-Lions was 24-23. That was a good game. Green Bay-Dallas, blowout, 48-32, but it wasn't even that close.
Mm-hmm.
Kansas City-Miami, 26-7, blowout. 31-17, Buffalo over Pittsburgh. It wasn't really a blowout, but you never really thought Pittsburgh had a chance in the game. And then Houston-Cleveland was an absolute blowout, 45-14. So even in the NFL, where the rosters are much closer, you're still going to have blowouts because you're largely dealing with the weakest teams in the field. So I'm kind of fine with that. I think the bigger problem that I see in terms of when everyone's arguing about not getting the right teams in, do I think they got the 12 best teams? No. The problem that I saw was, based on how they had to pick them, I don't know what else they were going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, the question is there a better way of picking these teams? And I don't know.
So to answer that, I'm not saying I fully know either. And it's always easier for somebody to remix a song than it is
sure.
to come up with it. I mean, these people have, and I just was on YouTube this other day, some of the greatest people, Beyonce, people have, like me and you even, that, but probably more musical, have went on there and took their songs
mm-hmm.
and remixed it or put another beat on it and have gotten almost more viewers and people on there like, I actually like this version better.
Sure.
So it's always easier when the foundation is done.
Correct.
So not picking on the committee. But it's two things that I don't like about the selection, things that should be different. One, I'm not just saying this, Jeff, being a fan, but think about what you just said. If you take SMU and Indiana out and you place Alabama and Miami, those games are not blowouts.
So
if you go blow Miami out, it got to be 100-50 because you know they're at least scoring 30, 40 points, and you know Alabama wouldn't have been a blowout.
I think you're right. With that being said, we did see Alabama not really move the ball against Oklahoma. So, like, if – I think you're right. I definitely think it's fair to say Miami would have scored.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, because the question is, okay, who are you replacing with? Are we saying Miami plays Notre Dame?
Notre Dame. Miami played Notre Dame.
And then Alabama plays Penn State.
And Penn State ain't nothing but a copycat of Alabama. Alabama would have been ready for the playoffs, and that game could have went either way. And Notre Dame would have been the favorite, but they would have been on their heels if we started out hot.
Well, and honestly, it's a more interesting matchup because the thing that was very obvious about Notre Dame, because I'm also not in, there was a large contingency of people when they were watching that game, like, Notre Dame's mid, like, Notre Dame's not good. I want to be clear. I think Notre Dame's good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they have a high ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
I think because on offense, they're limited. But in terms of the defense and their offensive line, I think they're legit, and I think they have an extremely high floor. But to your point about Miami, what happens to Notre Dame if Notre Dame gets into a game with Miami where Miami can take advantage of their secondary a little bit and then they have to go score?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like, it does make it a more interesting game. I guess, though, the problem that I have is how are we supposed to go about it? Because the biggest, what really stood out to me, and it's been standing out for most of the season, is the problem that we had this year with a 12-team playoff was we did not have, even in conferences, forget if you feel strongly about one league versus another, even amongst the conferences themselves, because most of them got bigger, we did not have equal scheduling.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand no two schedules can be exactly equal, but you could have a different situation where Georgia has to play five of the top SEC teams and four of them on the road versus Texas that only had to play Georgia. Like there are ways to do this. My concern, though, is I don't know if everyone's particularly interested in fixing it, because everyone seems more fixated on saving and preserving certain games. Because to me, it's like, all right, the Big Ten plays nine conference games. They have 18 teams. Why not take the standings from this year? And I understand not every team that was good this year is going to be good next year, vice versa. But at least it's a starting point. Why not take the standings 1 through 18? If you're an odd number team, if you're 1, 3, 5, 7, 9, 11, 13, 15, 17, that's your pool of nine games. That's who you're playing. And then do the flip for 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18. Those are your nine games. So that way you don't wind up with these schedules that are, well, this one team, like Indiana, I think with Indiana's schedule, they played Ohio State, and then they played basically the bottom, it was like eight of the bottom 10 teams.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like no one's particularly interested in actually doing something like that because, well, we've got to preserve this game or we got to preserve that game. And it's like, all right, well, maybe pick one or two games that you got to preserve.
For sure.
And then start working from
Michigan,
this. Like,
I'm not
acting like this is a perfect system, but I do think that would at least address some of the imbalance amongst conference schedules.
No, for sure. That make a lot of sense. Like you say, do it like that. Then it's two games. You know, like Michigan and Ohio State got to play each other. So if they even, you figure it out. And another thing I had with it, like you say, got to do the one. Before we get to that, I got to throw this out there.
Right.
Oregon, it's horrible that they got to play Ohio State right now. I just feel so bad that, I told you that a couple weeks ago, I was saying, they have the hardest route to the Final Four with the way that
the problem is it's like, This was the other thing I felt about the seeding, which is, and you could kind of see this coming from a couple of weeks away, when you started to game out, you're like, well, if Oregon goes undefeated, they're going to be the one seed, and based how they were going to have to slot everyone else, you started doing the math of like, Oregon's not going to get, other than getting a bye and not having to play one extra game, Oregon's not going to get a significant advantage. And that's kind of the way that's played out, because you knew whoever won the SEC was going to go to the bottom, and you knew Boise was likely to be in a 4-5 game as a big underdog, and then we wound up with Arizona State ending up getting the 4 spot. So now you look at it, it's like, I don't really know how they were going to actually finagle it, because essentially what you had is Boise State and Arizona State winding up as top 4 seeds. And to me, that's why I'm sitting there going, I'm not saying they don't deserve to be here. They earn the right to be here. Arizona State won the Big 12. We knew that the Big 12 champion was getting in. Boise State was the highest-ranked G5. We knew the highest-ranked G5 was getting in. But you needed to have some sort of protection to where those two teams are not getting byes. And they, to me, it's just like they wound up being so hell-bent on protecting the conference championship games and making them have meaning, when in reality, what we would have seen was hosting a playoff game would have had just as much meaning.
For sure.
And they should have just seeded it 1 through 12, or do the move of, okay, what we'd see in the NFL, let's take the teams that won in the first weekend, who's the highest rank left, and let's seed it, reseed it. Now, we're still going to wind up, we'd still wind up probably with a couple of bad games, but to me, it's like we needed a situation where you weren't just bypassing multiple teams that were probably going to be one and done anyway into the quarterfinals, because now we've wound up with a situation where we could have a lot of blowouts in round one and a lot of blowouts in the quarterfinals. At least if you seed it differently or reseed it, you wind up having a smaller opportunity for more blowouts.
And it's fair, and it gives a team to handle their business like Oregon, because right now, and I told you this a couple weeks ago, like you said, you couldn't stop it. And the way that you saw the seeding was going, to me, Texas and Penn State got the easiest route to the Final Four.
Yep.
And, I mean, the clear, they got the easiest route to it. And it's like, this week, I feel like Oregon should be playing Boise State or Arizona State, but instead, they're playing their hardest game this year, which is that they won by, I remember watching the game, like 1 point maybe. It was between 1 and 3 points.
It was a 1 point win at home, and Ohio State had the ball with a chance to go kick a field goal. Now, it doesn't mean like the college kickers weren't going to make it, but they screwed up the last drive. That was the play, remember, where Will Howard took off running and he didn't know how much time was left.
Yeah.
And he let the clock run out.
Yeah, and then it went out to one. Yeah, like he was just running. Yeah. Yeah. So with that, let's be real, coach, because they have more experience. I love Oregon, but I know you're a betting man. Nobody would be surprised at Ohio State won this game. I mean, outside of y'all going against the coach with the big game.
No, but it's a 2.5 point line, to your point.
Okay, see, I don't watch
Texas.
It.
Texas is a 14-point favorite. Penn State, I believe, is a 10.5-point favorite. Georgia is a 1.5-point favorite, but you have to factor in the reason why Georgia's not a bigger favorite because their starting quarterback's out.
Georgia got Notre Dame.
Okay. Now, that would have been a smaller spread anyway, but instead of, if Carson Beck's playing, Georgia's probably a 5-point favorite.
For
4.5, 5-point favorite. Instead, he's out, so they're only a 1.5-point favorite. But to your point, Oregon, the number one seed
overall,
in that scenario, would have the toughest game of anyone.
And then if they win it, who do they play? The Texas winner?
They would play the winner of Texas and Arizona.
That's what
State.
I say. I feel like they are the hardest.
But like Texas gets to the spot, to your point, of they don't have to beat both Ohio State and Oregon. They just gonna have to beat one of them.
I love it. If I'm a coach, I would have rather been, even with an extra game, Penn State or Texas.
Well, I mean, I think the reality is, if you were Oregon, you would have preferred being the 2 seed. And so, like, that to me was the problem. And this was always, you know, this was always the John Calipari line, which was, listen, when you overseed other teams, it doesn't really hurt the other team. Who it hurts is the team that earned the right to be the 1 seed, because now they're having to play these tougher games. Whereas if it would have just been seeded like it was in the bracket, like it was in the rankings, you wind up with Ohio State probably being where Penn State is. But, like, the biggest problem is you wound up with a situation where two teams that nobody, I guess on the outside possibility, it started to become clear to me that Boise State, about halfway through the season, they were going to have a path to a bye. Mm-hmm. It was not clear until a couple of weeks ago, really until that Saturday where Ole Miss loses to Florida, Alabama loses to Oklahoma, Texas A&M loses to Auburn. That weekend
Ohio
where
State, Michigan, right?
I know Ohio State, Michigan was the next week, but that goes to your point. If Ohio State doesn't lose that game,
they are top. They still would have got top.
Well, they would have been in the championship game. At worst, they would have been seated where Penn State is. At worst.
Okay.
And so that would have been, at least to your point, though, Oregon would have to play Penn State, but that, like, I think Ohio State's better than Penn State.
Yeah. Especially in Big Ten.
And that would have put Ohio State back in the bottom part of the bracket. And
Jeff, this might sound a little biased and crazy, and I know the other conferences will hate this, but I probably would only say, now listen, it's case by case, but with NIL, I don't think it's going to change. The only people to get a clear bye is the winner of the SEC and Big Ten. After that, and I know this sounds crazy, everybody go cry about it because you got Big Ten. But in football, I ain't talking about basketball. In football, well, the winner of the Big Ten and the SEC get a bye. Everybody else, we have to, then we will rank it 3 through 12 and just go straight from
there. Yeah, and if you want to keep in the protections that those leagues get bids, that's fine.
No, they get their bids. Yeah, they still get all the bids. I agree with that. The ACC, Big Ten, and one non-conference because you got to have a Cinderella story.
Sure.
One. But I would say those are the only two for sure that gets a bye. And the other two, we got to just see how the cards flow.
And see, this is where I think this is where it starts to become difficult. A, I don't know. So in terms of what they can fix for next year, my understanding of what they can fix is it requires unanimous approval. Mm-hmm. So how hard is that to get? I don't know. Like, are the SEC and the Big Ten going to be able to bully their ways? I don't know. You can fix seeding, automatic qualifiers, number of automatic qualifiers, and those are really the two big ones. Because I don't think they could potentially add, I think, two more teams. So you could expand it to 14.
I don't think we need to do that.
But I think the bigger problem is, and this is where I've been for most of the year, the problem college sports has in general is it has to lie about what it is as a product. Like, in the end, in today's day and age, it's largely a professional sport at the highest level. We're not talking about Olympic sports. We're not saying they don't matter, but we're talking about what we're talking about, which is this sport. It's another professional football league. And so because it wants to mask as something else, you have to come up with all these bylaws and conditions and whatnot because, well, we got to make sure everybody gets a chance. It's like, okay, but if you really believe, even though Oklahoma was 6-6 and was largely unimpressive, if you really think going to Oklahoma and playing the Sooners is the same thing as going to West Lafayette and playing Purdue, I'm sorry. I don't agree with you. But this is the problem. In this universe that we're talking about, my opinion doesn't matter any more than the next guy's opinion. Because what Ohio State did to Tennessee was a rallying cry for Big Ten people. See, what it really shows is the Big Ten was good. Michigan only went 7-5 because everyone was good. All right, but like, let's be real. Really what it showed more than anything was if you had eyeballs and you were watching, how Ohio State lost to Michigan will never make any sense. The only thing that makes sense is they have a mental block whenever they see Michigan play and their coach wanted to win a certain way. He was unable to do it. It played into Michigan's strengths. And then on top of that, his quarterback played poorly. And it left a low-scoring game. Michigan breaks off a big run, and they make their field goals. Ohio State misses their field goals. They win moving on. But let's not act like the big takeaway from that was Michigan was a good football team. They lost 5 games, and a couple of which weren't even close. They did not have a quarterback. To me, like, that's not the takeaway. It seems to me, though, where this is headed at some point or another is they're going to say the Big Ten's getting 3 automatically. The SEC's getting 3 automatically. The others are getting, like, this is the other problem that I have. Like, I'm fine if another ACC team earns it, but, like, I don't think that the ACC should get 2. Mm-hmm. I don't think the Big 12 should get 2. I'm fine with them getting a spot in because, honestly, I think the best G5 team would compete in both of those leagues.
Yep.
But it also comes back to the SMU problem. Do I think SMU is a bad football team? No. But they got a very, very generous schedule. They did not have to play Clemson. They did not have to play Miami. Their schedule worked out in their favor, and they wind up in the championship game, and a few other teams take losses, so all of a sudden you got to decide what they are. But, like, this all kind of, like, comes back to the same thing. It's like, well, Miami, don't freaking lose to Syracuse. Ole Miss, don't lose to Kentucky and Florida. Alabama, don't lose to Vanderbilt and Oklahoma. But at the same time, it's like, I can also hold that this is true. They have more opportunities to lose games. Like, there's just way more losable games. So it's kind of why when I saw everyone going at each other's throats on Saturday about predetermined plans of, as soon as we saw one result, see, this is why so-and-so shouldn't have been in. This is why so-and-so shouldn't have, like, should be in. My bigger problem was, like, okay, I hear you. Like, do I think Ole Miss, Alabama, and South Carolina are better than SMU, Indiana? I mean, honestly, I think they're better than Clemson, but Clemson earned their way to be there.
Sure.
Like, do I think that they're better? Sure. At the same time, we all kind of thought Tennessee earned its way there.
Yeah, yeah.
But they didn't look like they belonged.
Well, Tennessee had a rough end, too, not to take up for them. When you want to play Ohio State at home, you know, I thought that would – I think neutral field or something, that would have been a lot better game. I just knew a playoff game on the campus of Ohio State.
I think this is true. Oregon included, I do not think Ohio State would have lost to anyone given how they played on Saturday.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
Maybe healthy Georgia, but healthy Georgia isn't a possibility right now. You see what I'm saying? Like, if I'm saying teams are what they are as of today, I think Ohio State was beating everybody that day.
I'm a little nervous for Oregon right now, too, because I think Ohio State on one, and I wouldn't be shocked if Ohio State maybe won this thing or the winner of that game won it. And this is another reason why, listen, I'm a Miami Hurricane fan, so I'm a kind of, if being a Miami Hurricane fan, I guess I got to say that without saying I'm an ACC guy. I love what Colorado did this year in the Big 12, but this is why it's going to always be an argument. Like you said, that Powell, the G team, could have competed in both of them conferences. I think maybe not going too far that the top five teams in the SEC and five teams in the Big 10 could have won the ACC. You could make an argument, and I maybe could go deeper. I think if we go SEC, Tennessee could have won any of them leads. Georgia could have won any of them leads. Alabama could have won any of them leads. Ole Miss possibly could have won any of them leads. Texas.
See, I think Ole Miss is better than Alabama.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, so you probably, it's 6-7, probably SEC team. We go Big 10.
South Carolina, I think, could have won that league.
Won the Big 10 and ACC? I'm saying
Big 12. Big 12 and ACC, correct?
Yeah, Big 12 and ACC, yeah.
Yes. I think South Carolina could have won that.
South Carolina, yeah. Okay.
I'm iffy on Missouri.
Ah, yeah, that's too iffy. They play like them.
I think A&M could have won.
A&M could have won.
I don't think it would have been clean, but I think LSU could have won.
LSU probably could have. They could have competed for that lead for sure.
That's kind of where I draw the line. Like, I think the way Florida was playing at the end of the year, Florida was a good team, but it took Florida
a while to wake up.
You know what I mean? Like, it took them half a season to figure out what they were.
So let's go Big Ten now. Oregon could have won that lead. Ohio State could have won that lead.
Yes.
Penn State could have won that lead. As bad as you talk about them, I think, like you just said about LSU, Michigan could have competed to win those leagues.
The only problem that I have with Michigan is Michigan was so bad at quarterback that they were, despite being, like, you can, a great defense can only do so much.
For sure.
Like, at a certain point, we've created offensive systems that they can get into the 20s. I think they had a glaring problem. But I'll tell you what it did show me. If Michigan just would have had, like, when Harbaugh first got to Michigan, he was, like, taking the Iowa quarterback for a senior transfer and just plugging him in and playing. If they would have just had that this year, they probably would have been a playoff team because they would have beaten Indiana. I don't think they lose to Illinois. I don't think they lose to Washington. I think Texas was going to get them that day, basically, no matter what. But it didn't. The fact that they were so bad at quarterback left no doubt. But Texas had the type of game plan that they were going to be able to score on them. But, yes, I
so is it just three? That's it? Do you think? Because I'm not sure Indiana fully win, though. They probably could have. No, they couldn't have just won the ACC and Big 10. What you think? I mean, in Big 12, I'm sorry.
I think they would have. I think Indiana could have won the league because I think in the end, Arizona State won the Big 12. Indiana and Arizona State are very similar teams to me. Okay. They're big portal teams. They got transfer quarterbacks that played pretty well. And like the key difference is like Arizona State has Scataboo, who's like a tough back, whereas Indiana had Surratt, who's a great receiver.
For sure.
But it's like the same thing. An offensive playmaker that's a problem for you to defend. I think Indiana would have competed.
They could have competed, like, but not guaranteed.
Correct.
Maybe. What, USC, no. Yes, maybe.
USC had problems. So the, like, this is like the other problem that we're talking
they're
about.
They're deep out the three now that I think about it, but they're really, if you but think this, about it, it's kind of like a big three. With
honestly,
if you don't put Indiana.
I would have tossed Illinois up there. Illinois is actually not that bad.
Okay.
But the problem that the SEC ran into and the Big Ten did not run into is, other than Mississippi State, every team in the SEC was largely credible.
Because
if you think about it, Kentucky beats Ole Miss, but they still have a top 10 pick up front. Like, they were a credible football team. They fell apart, but they're largely a quarterback play. But they were a credible football team that goes 4-8. Auburn is going to have guys drafted. They went 5-7. Oklahoma goes 6-6. Vanderbilt goes 6-6. Arkansas 6-6. Florida's 8-5. LSU 8-4. A&M 8-4. Missouri 9-3. South Carolina 9-3. Ole Miss 9-3. Bama 9-3. Tennessee 10-2. Georgia 11-2. Texas 12-2. The problem is at the bottom part of the Big Ten. Purdue, god awful, 1-11. Maryland 4-8, god awful, 1-8 in the league. Northwestern 4-8, 2-7 in the league. I think Maryland was one of their wins. Michigan 5-7, 3-6 in the league. Wisconsin 5-7, 3-6. UCLA 5-7, 3-6. So you now get into an 18 team league that has six teams that everyone was going to beat.
Yes.
Versus a 16 team league where most everybody was going to beat Kentucky. Everyone's going to beat Mississippi State, and most everyone's going to beat Kentucky except Ole Miss. But Kentucky was at least credible enough, and then the rest of the teams are all.
You know what? I'm willing to take your bet a little more now, Jeff. I actually think Kentucky and Vandy would have kind of competed for one of those championships. Now that because Vandy has some really good wins this year.
The problem with Vandy is, are we talking about Vandy on October 1st, or are we talking about Vandy in November? Because what clearly happened to Vandy is they did not have a ton of depth.
For sure.
And once they started to get guys hurt, they just didn't have, like, by the end, they were not really able to compete at the highest level. But they
wouldn't have been playing the highest level either.
Are you telling me
Oklahoma, I think, could have competed in them two leagues a lot better.
Like, do I think Vandy's that much worse than Iowa State? No. Like, not honestly, sure. You know, we've talked about Deion. Like, a big part of the 9-3 Colorado season, we talked about, you and I, like how we used to have a soft spot for the old Pac-12. A big part of it was last year, the Pac-12 finally like got respectable, like where everyone was pretty good. And so now he flips it and he goes to the Big 12 where a little bit down in competition and you have the best quarterback and the best player in every single game you played. Lo and behold, they're 9-3. But like, I do think, like, I think Colorado this year would have beaten Colorado last year, full strength. But they're pretty close. They're not that much different. Like, they still had good players last year. They still had good players this year.
Offensive line end up getting more in sync this year.
Correct. They made some changes up front. And
defense was a little better at times. It started off, you were like, oh, here
we go again.
I think
the defense was better coached this year.
Okay.
I don't know if, like, they were a little bit better up front, which is, hey, you want to fix your defense? Go get some dudes up front. You don't have to cover as long. It's a lot easier to make tackles when your linebackers aren't shedding blocks. They were a little better up front, but I thought they were significantly better coached on defense this year. Like, they did not. Last year, you would just see guys, when you watch Colorado, guys would be just running wide open.
Yeah.
You did not see that often this year.
Like Miami defense,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. I don't know. I guess where I netted out was, I think the biggest problem that it has is, I think the seeding is a bigger problem than the selection process. I guess that's where I kind of came down. Because I think if we would have, if the field would have been seeded better, I don't think we would be in the situation where we wind up with four blowouts this weekend and potentially two more blowouts next weekend. Like, that to me is the big case.
Great. The seeding, just, that's one thing they got to change. Yeah. I think that's the number one thing.
Because I think it's still going to be a difficult process to, I think eventually we're heading to where the SEC and the Big Ten are going to get X amount of spots. I think it's going to be hard to pull it off until not the next playoff, but the next one when they rip up the contract and redo it. Overall, though, I was most happy. I was very worried coming in that if games got decided by weather, and but let's be clear, I think weather played a part. Like SMU, I know that look. When you're just cold and miserable and you had a couple of turnovers to start, like you just can't wait to be off the field, I know that look. I think Tennessee ran into a buzzsaw, but like I didn't really think it was cold. I think the problem that Tennessee ran into was Ohio State lost to Michigan. Like Ohio State shouldn't have been in that game, but they were, and so here you are. Honestly, as for much as I was ragging the ACC, the team I honestly felt the best about of the losers was Clemson.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Klubnik kind of balled out, especially second half. Like he was making some throws where I was like, I didn't know that that guy had that in him.
They competed.
Yeah.
They competed. They competed, and the thing about Clemson, you know, that made me happy, and this is being a rival, though them getting in. I just think, and I don't know why people have so much against them. You could tell me more because I know you're deep into college football, but I just think, and I get we're in the NIL era, we're in the transfer era, I just think Dabo Swinney is arguably the best coach in college football. I think when the SEC was dominating in the foreplay, he was – one of the only few people outside Ohio State here and there that I feel like not only challenged but hit the SEC in the mouth at times. Think he should have easily got the Alabama job. I don't know where all
well the Alabama job was going to be like $100 million. Like it's in his contract that if he goes to, like he can go to like if let's say tomorrow he wanted to be the Miami coach, there's like a small buyout. But if he wanted to be the Alabama coach because obviously he played there, like he has the ties, it was going to be something like $90 million. So that like that, but like that was part of a, you know, Dabo's throwing that in there saying like, I'm not going to go be the Bama. Yeah. Like you symbolically do that. The problem with Dabo is people don't like the preaching. It's always said it like this. I think Mark Richt is a man of deep faith. I don't think he hides it, but Mark Richt, every time he got a microphone, would not get up and preach at us. Like, I think his faith is important to him, whatnot. We don't like when we get up and we see the preacher, because it makes us go, what's behind this? Now, I also point this out with Dabo. I think Dabo's different than Freeze. People may not like Dabo and his messaging, but there's no one that goes, you know, you really peek underneath the hood.
Yeah,
there's problems. Whereas with Freeze, it was like, when he's doing the preaching and whatnot, everyone's like, I would maybe back it down, Hugh. Like, you know, like he maybe back it down. And to his credit, he still has it some, but he has toned it way down. Now, he's also been losing, but that's a big part of it. People don't like that. And then the stubbornness of, I'm not going to be a portal guy. I'm not like, it's the things that you have to do. In this era, Dabo's been resistant to them.
But him still making the playoffs, not because Georgia looks, it's like really.
People also think him, but like people think that him making the playoffs was like a technicality. Like, because they lose to Louisville, like they wouldn't even been in the ACC championship game if Miami doesn't lose to Syracuse.
Yep.
So they backdoor their way into that. And then they
beat SMU, though.
They did.
In the championship game.
And again, I think. The thing that was actually the most disappointing to me about Clemson, I thought they were going to be tougher on defense.
Yeah.
And they, like, Texas could score whenever they wanted.
No, whenever. But I still give them.
I agree, though. He was criminally overlooked as the coach. Like, in a loss, his team looked much better prepared than the rest of the losing team.
And I also think what makes him a better coach than most people in college football, because even in this era, I'm going to be real, from a culture standpoint, now this might sound like some loser stuff, but if I had a son and he'd develop, I know Dabo is one of the few people in the country of all sports that not just throwing them out there. They're still trying to stick with the people in-house. They're trying to develop. They're trying to do
They're trying to make their they're trying to identify guys and make them better.
Better. And to me, he's not that far off to not be doing nothing. Everybody, you would think they should be, the way people complain, they should be 4-8 or something. Because they're not taking transfer. They're not having a lot of people.
He's taken 2.
Yep.
He took two.
Some people taking 20.
Well, this is to your point. If he can start subsidizing some of these holes, like, I'm with you. Like, I don't think Clemson's that far from being Clemson again, especially in the league. The league's weaker than it was.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, you got Miami and SMU spending, but, like, I mean, SMU.
They spending, though.
They are spending a lot.
As I've been talking to some people, SMU
is spending, but they're also, like, in the end, if I'm going up and I'm recruiting Texas kids, it's not like Texas and Texas A&M aren't spending either.
That's for sure.
And
TCU got a little money, too.
TCU's got money.
They got a little money. TCU got a little money, too.
Houston's got money.
Houston okay, too. Baylor okay, but I think they're more in basketball.
Yeah, but they're still willing. Now, I think you're right. I think they're more committed to basketball, but I think they're still willing. All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, we've avoided talking Tigers long enough. Let's do it next. We'll get Coach Hurd. We'll pick Coach Hurd's brain, see what he saw on Saturday, talk about it when we come back right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. That's right. We still got one more day for some of us. You know, you got plenty of time still pick up your holiday shopping. But if you're looking to add a little bit more sparkle for the holiday season, go see our good friends over at Robert Irwin Jewelers. Some of the top holiday picks include diamond earrings. Every woman needs a pair of diamond studs. They're the little black dress of jewelry. Half carat total weight diamond studs start at just $3.99. Also, a hot selection at this time of the year is the tennis bracelets. Three carat lab grown diamond tennis bracelets start at only $9.99. Hurry, hurry, hurry on that one though, because it's a limited time only while supplies last. Also, check out diamond necklaces there as well. Also, holidays, New Year's, everything, big engagement season. If you're going to get engaged, do what I did. Go see our friends over at Robert Irwin Jewelers. Whether you're selecting from their handcrafted engagement rings in unique, trendy, and fashion-forward styles, or you're doing what I did, getting something one-of-a-kind, having a custom-made engagement ring, listen, it's not as daunting as it sounds. You think custom-made engagement ring, I don't know anything about designing jewelry. The good news is you don't have to. Howie knows all about designing jewelry. All you have to do is have an idea, a picture, a concept, something in mind that you want to work. Then Howie will design it and give you a never-worn engagement ring for you. Also, you can do so with peace of mind, meant to be guaranteed. 365 days, no questions asked, return policy. You can shop now and pay later, 12 months interest-free financing, or take up to 60 months to pay. They will be open on Sundays through the holidays. You can visit any of their 5 locations or shop online at rijewelers.com. Bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices, all at Robert Irwin Jewelers. All right, Hurd, we've avoided it long enough, but on Saturday at FedEx Forum, 11:30, this was one of those kind of bummers, because even though I bet Penn State, and like it was very obvious, okay, that's a winner. I was kind of hoping to watch a good game, and I was like, ooh, well, at least we got Mississippi State Memphis tipping off 30 minutes later. At least that'll be a fun game. It was pretty apparent like 10 minutes in, like, oh, this is not going to go the Tigers' way. And I want to be very clear. I don't want to take anything away from Mississippi State. Memphis did not shoot the basketball great, but I think there's a reason they didn't shoot the basketball great. Mississippi State is an incredibly physical team, and Jans is a good coach. I think what I have realized this year, what the SEC believes they are in football, they actually are in basketball this year. I think with the NIL, how many teams have big budgets for rosters and the depth of teams, I think they actually are what they think they are in football, but they're actually that in basketball. I mean, I think it's entirely reasonable they wind up getting like 11 teams in.
Pretty good. I think we saw a few weeks ago what they did to the ACC. I think like 14-2. It was remarkable how they did that. Yeah, Saturday reminded me of, and I didn't watch the whole Arkansas State game, but it felt like that on steroids a little bit, because it was like like we said about the football, if somebody said it was a sold out, I would believe it. The game looked it sold out, whether it was or not.
So they announced 14,000. The problem is, My deal is I don't get all that wrapped up. The biggest problem that FedEx Forum has is like 49% of the seats. Maybe the number's different now that they added the video boards in the corners. But at one time, 49% of the seats were in the upper deck. So as long, my whole deal is, as long as the lower bowl and the plot and the club level are full, it looks full.
Yep.
You can't see, like on TV, you can't see up top.
No, you can't see up. And that's how most colleges are. Right? You can only see down there. And I'm going to be real with you. Like, I'm a very, you know, innocent man at this point in my life, truthful man. But I have, to me, the most truthful people in the world is when I see 20 rows of seats and I look up and that guy is in his real seat on the last seat up top. I'm like, bro, you ain't going to walk down a little bit. Nobody's going to say that.
No, it's like, damn it, I'm sitting in my seat. Like, I paid for this seat. Like, you're right. There is something, there's something admirable about that. Because, like, all of us would just sit there and go, like, all right, I'll move down 10 rows.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, whatever.
So, but it looked like a pack house. And I feel like, man, I hate it for the Tigers. I hate it for Penny because they had such a great Clemson win. And if and as you can see all week, they were really, really hyping the game up. They wanted the community to be so much a part of it. You know, if you watch certain players, I'm on all social sites, but I'm mostly on Instagram. Jeff, that's probably where you don't see me. I see you on Twitter a lot.
I'm never on Instagram.
Yeah, you're never on. I was going to see someone that say Jeff.
I technically have an Instagram account that a social media manager made for me. I don't even know the password.
For sure. You like my office at the gym sometimes. Like, I don't have a key to it. But there are a lot. I just not in my office. So, I know you're on Twitter. A lot of my sports guys are on Twitter a lot. And then you have the Facebook group for family. I don't do Facebook. I say all that to say if you own there, the players were just promoting how bad they want the city to come out. Penny Hardaway was, you know, personally.
Listen, he came on Jason and John. Like, he was getting out, like, telling people to come out.
Yeah, they're like a campaign or whatever, which for the right reason. So, I feel like it was the most, up to this point, the most anticipated home game. And it felt like we played our worst ball at home. Well, Arkansas State, but.
Yeah, I actually thought this was a little different than Arkansas State. I think Arkansas State was entirely about their effort. I think they tried on Saturday. I think this is interesting because I was talking to Mark earlier today and wanted to get your thoughts. Cobb has really hit on this, that with the lack of depth, when they don't have, like when they play Clemson on Saturday, turn around, go play UVA, and then they play Mississippi State, their thought is they kind of ran out of gas.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's something to that. I'm just not convinced that's what it was on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't feel like it was a legs problem on Saturday. I felt like it was a Mississippi State matchup problem.
Yeah, not to take away from Cobb and all those guys, they do great work. I don't agree with the leg thing because these guys are young. And one thing about young guys, Jeff, I know we're making all this technology. Having a three-day break is pretty good. It's not like a back-to-back in the NBA. And I have seen, like, some of Calipari teams and other teams over the year. I know some coaches who their thing is to only play seven players 90% of the time or – eight players or some even six players that have been successful. So I don't think.
I mean, that's what Clemson did last year.
Yeah, and they was pretty good.
Now, their argument would be also that those teams don't play with the pace Memphis does and whatnot. But I'm closer to you, man. Like, I just don't think, legs was what happened on Saturday.
I don't. Bottom line, if our guards would have made their shots, we would have been in the game. You know what I mean? It came down to our most productive people wasn't productive, and it just came. They was one having a bad game, and Mississippi State was putting it on them too.
And Moussa got in foul trouble
early. When I was watching that, I was just like,
"He only played 12 minutes." That tells you how much foul
I saw that because I was, you know, there a little bit. Because I have two former players on the team, so I was, of course, I'm riding with the Tigers. But I went and talked to Jairns. I went and talked to the staff. You know, Mook, Hubbard. You know, Josh Hubbard. All those guys came out of Team Thad program. They right from here. You know, Mook went to Olive Branch High School, Cameron Matthews. And so I'm watching it, but I had to get on the road, too, because I had a meeting. I didn't stay the whole game. I had a meeting in Birmingham. And as I'm watching it, it's like they say Moussa got two. They put him right back in. Not saying it's his fault, not trying to be like this, but it was a little soft foul where he just didn't let the dude over. And they like,
He has three. We just got through talking about. I don't know if me and you ever talked about this, but last week I know you probably had to because I wasn't here in the middle of the week. But it was either the Virginia game. Something he only played 16. Am I off?
Yeah, no, UVA. But same thing, got in foul trouble. And Dane played pretty well against UVA.
Dane played good against UVA. So for Musa to regain the spot, is Dane Danger having been as productive as he once was, or
Dane feels very matchup dependent? Like,
okay,
and State's got some dudes inside, man.
Yeah, because they went to a dude, even though it didn't work, though, and they let me know it was going to be like, they went to a dude in the paint first play of the game.
Yes.
You know, dude kind of traveled, but even when he traveled, everybody was still clapping. They didn't look like, man, I ain't going to lie, it kind of got somewhat disrespectful because, man, Mississippi State started bringing like the rig out the middle. And these guys was finishing strong. Like, if they didn't dunk it, it was like they was dunking on each other,
yeah,
like sometime, and they was out hustling each other for the ball. And I was like, hold on now, they're playing. And I will say this, though. When I talked to, I can say this now because I don't like to put people's business out.